I greet all you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank the call and thank the privilege to come here and stay with you this day today. Normally I don't talk much what I do, but because I am now in the new place, I have to say something that you will get some idea why I'm here this day. I got saved 25 years ago, and 20 years ago God called me, maybe earlier, but I start my ministry to travel and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ many countries. I start in Finland, but then Lord start to open other countries for me and sent there. And here in Texas I came first time in 1988 to fund James Robinson Conference in Dallas, and that was my first experience from Texas. Day when we came here was sunny day, and next day there was raining ice. So I have been very deep first experience from Texas. And at this time I'm still traveling, but also I'm 2 years ago we founded a mission organization called King's Mission. It has a Finnish language name also. And we, through that organization, we helped the groups go to Russia and share the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And also we equip groups to do same work in Baltic countries, just Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania. And we have one missionary in Israel. She's a woman, lady, she start there in January this year. And then we have helped one brother in India in his work, and then we help some evangelists in Finland. And in the beginning of this year, Lord put my heart also that we have to start to help poor people. And so we start to reserve money for poor people. There are some families where only there is only the mother who is alone taking care of kids. We have helped especially those families where there sometimes might be mother with 3 or 6 children together alone. To get the kid with the children, but alone taking the care of them and help them, and many kind of poor people according how the God puts them to our heart. And every year I take a group in Israel and do this has happened more than 10 years, and Lord has put to the groups those people who many of them has start the ministry in there in Israel. They have first come to my group and now they are serving there in some organization or some ministries. So we Finnish people do much work in Israel. And this might be enough my background. But I want you to mention that my mother language is not English. If you do not understand something, let me know. I will repeat or try it to some other words, because I don't like if people are too polite and don't let me know, because I want to be sure that you understand what I'm preaching, because there's no idea if you don't know what I'm speaking. And we go to text today. And we read this very well known text here in the end of the Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is very clear, this great commission for every one of us, that we have to share out the gospel of Jesus Christ for all nations and all language groups and all tribes. It means every people, because Jesus died for every man's sin, and so he wants that every man here in the earth hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I am this day handling this other part of this great commission. It's much same much important than this that we go all over the world and preach the gospel, but also what is said here in the verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I want to handle this word all, what it means, what it includes, what are those things, to teaching them to observe all. And that's my like the title for this Bible lesson. What kind of things that word all includes or will include? Of course, I can't handle in one Bible lesson all things what the word all means, what we have to teach those disciples. But those disciples who heard these verse disciples who had been with Jesus, they really knew what that all is and what that all means, because they had been with Jesus so long time. So they had received all, and Jesus put the burden upon them to share that all to the next becoming disciples. And this time there might be problems if we haven't received that all. It is difficult to share out it all if you don't yet have it. But I see it like in spirit, that every congregation, every church there in some kind of period, might be in 2 or 3 years period or so, I hope there will be this all given up, that it comes by teaching and by praying and everything up, what that all means, what we have to teach these new disciples. And all kind of disciples, of course. And we go to the next text to see which kind of situation it leads us when we have received that all. So we go to the Gospel Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we start from the verse 40. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So it means when we have received that all, we start more and more be like our Master Jesus Christ. Everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. That is where that word all leads us. All teaching, all spiritual experience, all practice, everything is leading to this destination, that we will, that the Christ will get the form in us. But now I just took one verse there, but now we have to see something what is before this verse 40, and also what is after this verse 40, that we could understand which kind of situation Jesus told this verse that fully perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So we read more from this same chapter. We start from the verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And then is this verse 40 again. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfect trained will be like his teacher. And 41. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive that plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings what good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. What out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and eventually it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So now we understand more deep what that verse 40 means when we see what Jesus was talking before it, teaching before it and after that. It means that there are many things what we do, but sinners do also them, same things. If somebody do some sinner good thing for him or her, he and she can do it back. But this is not yet the righteousness of God, because there is more deep meaning of the love of Jesus Christ. So this bully training means that God leads us as deep things to turn to the other seek if somebody beat us to the other seek. It means that bully training leads us to give up our all understand and it leads that our own nature will turn beside and fleshly mind will have to be dead. I mean the carnal mind, it have to be dead in us. Because we are walking in light with spirit. And much more we learn what that all means. It means much more we look like our master. And then the worst part of this verse 40 is also this important. A disciple is not above his teacher. When we think this verse, think, oh, Jesus is so high there that I can't be above. But fleshly mind, carnal mind, it raises always above to Jesus Christ. The mind of flesh, the carnal mind is also above the Christ Jesus. So we have forsake the carnal mind and keep that mind of spirit that we could understand that these need deep things. And then it's very difficult, this verses 41 and 42, that if we start to correct our brother or sister, we have the worst see our life before God. See the, like the mirror of Christ, what I look like there in his mirror. Because the truth is, it is much easier to see the sin and the mistakes there in our brothers or sisters' life, and it's more difficult to see what there is in my own heart. And that's why it's important that that's verse 41. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive that blank in your own eye? It's easy there. And if there is a blank, it means that you are again about the Jesus Christ. Because then there is the carnal mind. Then all kind of proudness is about the Jesus. If you have proud mind, is always about Jesus. Jesus was humble with his heart. He humbled his heart. So that word all means also that we every time humble our heart that we can walk with Jesus Christ. So you can study more this at home, what is before this verse 40, and after that I can describe everything what it means. But it brings us clear picture what it means that what kind of person is that who is perfectly trained. He will be like his teacher. That's the like destination, like the silence for us, that we will be like our teacher. Lord God wants to put there like the thirsty our hearts that I want to be like my teacher. I want to study, I want to learn that all that I will be like my teacher. That he wants also put to our heart that I want, that I pray that it never happen that I come above my master. and then we will study that all. Then we see some verses. We see 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Second Corinthians and chapter 10, and we read six verses there from the beginning. Now, I Paul myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lovely among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as we walk it according to the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not fall according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So this, we still keep our mind that title, that word all. It means that God wants that also those things which we are thinking, they come also to his hand, that our things also start to be holy and start to please God. Carnal mind says to you and to me, it's impossible. But we have to just believe what the word says and do not think what the carnal mind says. So it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Of course, it's very important to think what we say, how we behave. But in the front of God, is also important thing what we think, how we are thinking. Is the room our brains that for God, that he can change our thinking, that it also will be according the word of God and according the spirit of God. That also, that word all means that there is room in our head for God to change our thinking, that it will be according the spirit and according the word of God. Then we handle something from something this word 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does this mean? Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So it means that Paul could not punish disobedience before there was fulfillment of obedience. What it means in practice? I can take an example. If here in Texas, for example, comes a new law for example, there in the traffic comes a new law that you can't anymore turn right on red lights. There comes a new law and they put the day, after this date you can't turn right on red anymore. what happens next day if somebody turns right on the red there in the cross and police comes? Is he giving a ticket that the woman or man of woman if he do mistake? No, they verse the advice. They mention that you have to remember. Now here is a new law. You have to obey it. So it means that God also teaches us verse to understand whole obedience, and after that there can be the punishment for all disobedience. And that this is the big mistake everywhere where I travel and preach the gospel, that there in the congregation, they maybe elders, pastors, whoever, they start to punish disobedience too earlier. It means that they start expect just baby disciples to behave like woolly trained Christians. And they make God's way is a verse teach the whole truth. Teach that whole obedience and put it into practice. And after that there is the chance for punish all disobedience. That's God's way. He must want us to understand all things, and after that. That is same in the school. You can't verse class if some make there some mistakes. You can't punish anything because that child can't understand not yet everything. There must be time for that. And God has a long patience for us that he give us time to learn what obedience is. And also I can share another point, that there is much disobedience among the disciples because nobody has never told them what is the whole way of obedience. So we can't not put those people in responsibility that they have disobedience, because nobody has tell it them what is the way of obedience. So it's not good before the God if there is punish too earlier. There must be will at the obedience. Then it will go the right way. So it means that this word, all there in the end of Matthew 28 chapter, it means it has much doing with word obedience. Without obedience there can't be any kind of blessings. Then we can go to the Romans chapter first, see also some things about obedience. Romans and chapter first. And there we read also maybe six verses. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to be gospel of God, with his promises before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So it means that God wants to share his obedience for all nations. To get the people just to receive Jesus is the start what is obedience, but this other part of the Great Commission must follow, that there will be obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. It's obedience for his name Sometimes I teach some Christian, they ask me some things, Jari, I don't know, is this or that thing sin or not? And I teach those disciples that you may test. If you are smoking, that's the sin, because I want to give this example because everyone can see it and sin. But there are much more, much deeper sin in our heart what we can't see. But of course, if you smoke, you can sit in the chair and you start to image in my mind, could Jesus Christ sit in the chair and have a smoke in his mind? I think if you really are seeking truth immensely, the Spirit of God gives you the answer. It's impossible that Jesus can sit there in this chair, a smoke in his mind. And then you know it is sin. So everything where you don't know, where are you doubting, is this or that sin? You can put the sin like to the Jesus body or like to Jesus life, and eventually you start to see, is it sin or not? Because the Spirit of God shows you it eventually, could Jesus do this thing or not? And if you inner man asks to you, Jesus can't do this thing, so you do, you have to repent and say, also I can't do it because Jesus can't do and Jesus don't want to do it. So in fact, it's easy to know what is sin if we are really honest guardian to his word. We can test our heart. And of course, we can stay there on his mirror unless we see what kind of work we are. We can stay there that he can show us what is sin. One and a half year ago, I was getting back from Israel, and I was sitting in the airplane, and I was telling to my brother who was sitting beside me, I was telling him a story that when I went to see one old man in the hospital, and he very soon received Jesus. And then there was the same room, other man who was also sick and dying very soon, and asked him also, do you want to receive Jesus? But he every time, what any kind of question I said to that man, he asked me, my brother is priest. My brother is priest in Lutheran church. Then I tried another way, that tell him that you have to receive Jesus before die. And all again the answer was, my brother is priest in Lutheran church. And I couldn't let him to receive Jesus Christ. But when I told this to my brother who was sitting beside me, and that brother left to the toilet, then their left side young lady was pointing my side and said, how I could receive Jesus? Can you advise me? And what happened? She gave her life to Jesus there in airplane. And finally I found out she was the daughter of the Lutheran priest. And that's where that's his. I thought I'm just talking this story or this true story to my brother there at right side, but there was here also at the left side, and was happy. And then that lady has been now Christian maybe 1 year and 6 months or so, and sometimes she writes to my email how Jesus has been guiding her life. And then she wrote me last time, when she wrote me, he told that I fall in sin, but then there came the word of knowledge which reveal my sin, and I repent. I'm again following Jesus Christ. So God can bring up also sin. If you don't understand the sin, he can do it up many ways. Yes. But the main thing is that he will bring it up. And we are ready to see what is sin before the God. That he has called us to live holy life. So God wants that there will come obedience in all nations, like we read here in Romans chapter 1. Then this word all, this, keep this title, it includes also something that we know the scriptures. There can't be obedience without scriptures. There can be deep prayer life in some Christian's life, but if there is not understanding what the scripture says, there is no right way, not right obedience. You can pray many hours a day, but if you do not know the scriptures, there might come some problems in your life. So God wants that we know both scriptures and we know his power. Of course it's necessary and important that we have the prayer life, but we also need the knowledge of scriptures. And we read that from 2 Timothy and chapter 3. It's maybe we read only 14 and 17, we got it get more shortly form. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So here is the long list why is the scripture, or maybe plural also, the scriptures, depends on the situation, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it means we need deep understanding what the scripture really is saying, such to me, just to my life, what is written there for me and written for you. Then we see, I can see it's a little bit negative situation there in Matthew 22, but it also speak about scripture, and we turn there and keep mind till this chapter, to these verses to Timothy. But we turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Still takes time. Here it is, and then it's verses 23 to 33. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seven. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose five of the seven will see be what they all had heard? Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. So these Sadducees were mistaken because they did not know scripture nor the power of God. So it's very important that there is like the balance, that we know the board, we know the scripture, and we know the power of God. They are like the main stars in the New Testament church. Know scripture and know the power of God. And there has to be balance. Because we get some revelation or some information or prophecy, any kind in spirit, we can test them by the scripture. Because always when God's spirit speaks us, He speaks according to the scripture. So all messages what come through the spirit, which way they come, doesn't matter, they are and they must be according what is written. God keeps his word. And when Jesus Christ came here, He was the Word who came in flesh, in the earth. And Holy Spirit is lifting up Jesus Christ and glorifying Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is never taking honor to himself or giving any honor to man. Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus Christ who paid the price for our souls. Every time He do that way. Holy Spirit is not talking himself. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So it means all gifts of spirits are also talking about Jesus Christ and glorifying him who paid the price for our soul. So we need to know the scripture and know the power of God. And Sadducees were mistaken because they did not know. They did not understand that there is a living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of death, but of the living. So where God is doing something, there is life. The words which Jesus spoke, there was spirit and life. And still where the Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus Christ, there is same thing. There is life. And Jesus wants that where we are, what we do, there is knowledge of scripture and knowledge of his power, and that there is life where we do work for the kingdom of God. That's God's will. So we go to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. It teaches us very much what it means to be disciples and what is the meaning to be disciples, how to deal with this call to be disciple. And we can't read all verses. Takes too much time, but maybe you remember this start of this. Maybe start from the verse 5. You can read at home those first 4 verses. Gospel John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine; you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they get my word, they will keep yours also. Okay, we stop here. I take here out some things. Here are many things, but I take only some. I love this verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. It means that we grow here in this. We can call it like the disciple school. When we grow there, much more we are growing, much more we start to feel, I am the friend of Jesus Christ. And I'm not anymore a servant who is very far from Jesus. I like very much that Bible text where I can take it the modern language, that when Jesus and disciples had maybe it was a lunch break or coffee break, and the disciples so loved Jesus so much that when they had the break, he came and put his head beside the Jesus, says, because he understood very deeply in his heart that this situation is temporary. Jesus is dying. He is going to heaven. And he wanted all even those breaks what they had, he wanted to lean his head to the Jesus chest. It means he wanted to receive all love what Jesus was sharing. Then he teaches there that he's writing from himself that that disciple which Jesus loved most. More, but Jesus never loved someone more than any other. It might be John's own feeling. Jesus loves us, everybody. But he wants that when we go on and grow in this obedience and this disciple school and start more and more to learn what it all is, it means that we come more and more close to Jesus like the John, and we start more and more understand, I am the friend of Jesus, and Jesus is friend of mine. Somewhere in the New Testament text, it's called that we have like the shake yoke with the Jesus Christ. We are like the tie that there has set the same yoke above our shoulders with Jesus. So it means when we have fully trained it and we understand it meaning what it means to be disciples, we have the same yoke. Another verse called that we are co-workers with living God. There in your working place, there some of your workmates, co-workers might be lazy and you have to do your friend's work also. It happens many times and some other things. But when you are doing work with Jesus, he is faithful worker with you. And it means if you really have that yoke on your arms here, it means that when Jesus takes a step, when you take a step, Jesus also takes the step. So it obedience with Jesus, this disciple school, it leads us to get the victory with Jesus Christ. And we really hear in our heart that we are friends of Jesus, it means then there is no left law our heart. There is not self-trusting here anymore. Because if there is trusting, there is guiltiness. And then it's if there is guiltiness before the Lord, there is not freedom to do his will here in the earth. So he wants to be us this friend deep friendliness fellowship with Jesus Christ, and Apostle John before the disciple John is the best example in the New Testament how to be the friend of Jesus Christ. So we can follow the example. So I want to tell one story because it's also part of it happened here in Texas. Here was the verse that there is verse 13, we are still in chapter 15, it's all. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And one reason why I'm here in Texas, and just as in Faco, is I say it very shortly, that my sister was there in the Bible school in Christ for the Nation in the beginning of 19, maybe 91, 92 or so. And Matthew's family daughter Sarah was there same time, and they were roommates. And that's why I came during these years also here in Waco through that connection. But then there in that Bible class there in Bible school, there was a young man from Canada. And he was very active to share his testimony. All people wherever he was moving. I met that brother and prayed for him and prayed many other students there when I visited maybe 1991 or 92. And then that Bible course ended there in the Christ for the Nation, and that I don't remember the name of that Canadian young man. He went to his home city there in Canada, and some years after that he was one day there on the saw of the lake. There was the swimming place, and he was just maybe sitting or laying there in the sun. But then there came small kids to swim there in the lake, and suddenly that young brother understood that those young children are too young, they can't swimmed and they are dying there into the lake. They are going down to the water. And there was the problem, this brother could not swim. But he put his life on the table and he went and he got these young children up there from the water. But himself he died. He pushed them to up there, but he himself, he got water in his lungs and he died. He gave his life for his friends. This is the deepest meaning of love of disciple to lay down one's life for his friends. He did it. And what happened? There was the craving service after that, and many young people came there and they were crying, and after that there started a huge revival in that city in Canada. He gave his life, but his life still had meaning. Maybe those two or three children who came there up, they hold their life. Remember, there was a young man who gave life for us, who laid his own life on the table that he could save our life. Maybe they preach his gospel, what that young brother had the plan to do. Maybe they take his task and reach the nation to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is not greater love that somebody lay down one's life for his friends. This is the deepest means to be a disciple. Of course, it is the deepest meaning also to give a life as a martyr, to die that you are the witness of Jesus Christ. But it is not a duty to die like a martyr, it is privilege. First year, when I start to have meetings and driving, and many times I came home 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning when I drove maybe some 100 miles even by my car. And when I start this ministry, many times early hours there in the morning, I start to feel this is my duty to go. Oh Lord, have mercy for me. But when there has gone more years, I have studied more and understood more. It's my privilege to go. It's my privilege to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus Christ. Many times when I arrive home, there are some other also driving early in the morning, there may 3 or 4 o'clock. Sometimes there are driving a car, there is a trailer back it, and there is the name of some rock band. They have been playing some rest around and they are going home. There might be truck drivers, they are doing day work. And then I understood I have privilege. I can drive here because of Jesus. I can drive here because Jesus has called me. It's my privilege. So I will finish very soon, but I want to you understand that we start much more, we grow in this disciple school with Christ. We start to think also all kind of difficulties and persecution and everything. This is my privilege to receive persecution. Like the Silas there in Philip. They in mind they kept it privileged that they had to go in prison. They saw it right point before the God. It's our privilege to go to prison because of Jesus Christ. And they did not go vain into the prison because because they were there in the prison. Then there came the earthquake, and then there came the power of God, and that man who was taking care of the prisoners gave his life to Jesus. That was the meaning. That night started the New Testament church in Philip. Because they had right attitude. They were tied, they had chains and everything, but word says that they were lifting up to the singing and singing praise to the living God. They did not were thinking how their wounds were had pain. They were not thinking that. They saw only, we have privilege to be here in prison. It's our privilege to be here because of Jesus Christ, our Master. So I hope that if there has been some difficulties and will still be in your life, see that it's your privilege to follow Jesus. It's my privilege, it's your privilege. And now we come into the end, and I just want to say only a few words which still are here. Here in same chapter 15, John chapter 15, the whole idea to grow in this disciples' school is has a, of course, its final destination is that we one day reach the heaven. But it has final destination, like the nation of Israel has final destination here in the earth. It was the promised land. So we have also the promised land. He has set us that we will bear much fruit. He grows us, He is training us, He is helping us that we will bear much fruit. And that fruit also will stay, it will remain. God wants through you bear the fruit which will remain. Leaving God is not doing any kind of temporary fruit. Leaving God is not blessing only temporary victories. He wants to bless your life. Victory which gives you the breakthrough. And He wants to bless you fruit which should remain, that it will remain forever. And then the word says also that righteous will speak till after his death. If me and you bear the fruit, that fruit is still speaking when we have gone to be with the Lord. Our life is still speaking after that. One time when I was driving home from one meeting, I was hearing a tape where his brother from England, Dennis Clark, was preaching, and some minutes brother was making interpretation. I had heard that message maybe 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and Spirit of God started to speak me that Strices will peak still after his death. And then I found out those both brothers who, other ones were preaching, other one was making interpretation, they both were already in heaven. But those righteous were still speaking because they were fruitful men here in the earth. I hope that you also will bear the fruit which will remain even after you go to be with the Lord. And we end for the prayers. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come your holy presence, and we thank it's our privilege to be your disciples. It's our privilege to follow your Jesus Christ. It's our privilege to receive persecution because of your word and because of this new life. Hallelujah, we thank everything is your gift you have given for us. Hallelujah. We thank that you are powerful God, bear fruit through these disciples who this day are hearing this message. And Lord God, open us understand more deeply what it word all includes there in the end of the Gospel Matthew. Observe all things, teaching and observe all things. Open our heart to understand what it all is in practice, and help us to put it in practice in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, help us to understand more deeply that you want that we are not servants far from you. You want we are your friends. Help us to note us now here that we are your friends which you love. And we are your friends to whom you are ready to tell everything. You do not keep anything secret. You want to tell everything. Hallelujah. Lord God, I see somebody who really active his or her weight and is ready to lay his head beside what Jesus says and say, Lord Jesus, I'm your friend and you are my friend. Hallelujah. And somebody is now understanding more deeply that I'm co-worker with Jesus. I'm doing work with living God to whom everything is possible. Hallelujah. You are co-worker. And Lord God is blessing you to be more co-workers. And Lord God is blessing you to go and bear the much fruit and bear the fruit which will remain in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we resist all kind of weakness. Is it disease or sicknesses, any kind? We resist and come and to go in the name of Jesus. There in the right knee, we come and all weakness to go and we talk. Let that knee get victory, that it receive its healing just today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there in the right angle, we thank your healing power and thank you. Touch this leg, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that they see that God's spirit is moving somebody's eyes. And we proclaim victory. We talk, let they come healthy, those weak eyes, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I proclaim, let there be the full sight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I talk you, the weak heart, I talk you, let's come strong, in the name of Jesus. And let there be the right rhythm in that heart, in the name of Jesus. That weak rhythm be strong rhythm in the name of Jesus in that weak heart. Let that heart be strong in the name and well in the name of Jesus. And somebody's heart is the singing the song there in your mind that this is the day that Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will glad in you. And really Spirit is confirming this is the day that Lord has made. Hallelujah. You will rejoice. Because the part of to be disciple is that we have to privilege rejoice. Let there be rejoice. And we give thanksgiving to you. And we enter there the most high places in heaven. Hallelujah. We bring our prayer subject there inside to your throne there in the most high places. Hallelujah. We come to the curtain which is open. And we come there most high places singing the praise and bringing all great subjects, all problems, all illness, everything we bring there to most high places. And we thank that our God hears our prayers and his hand is long enough to touch your life and reach your life. Hallelujah. Whatever you need this time, Lord God, his hand is long enough to reach your life. Hallelujah. As somebody who has the weak hands, there has been many limitations in your life. You couldn't have done those work you did earlier. But I command that weakness to go in your hand. And let there be the power, your youth in those hands. And let your youth renew like the eagles in the name of Jesus. Let there come the spirit of faith like it came to the Caleb's
life that he said, I still have the same power I had in my youth. And he wanted to possess the Mount Hebron after that. Let there be the same power you had in your youth, and let your youth renew like the eagles in the name of Jesus. Your God is powerful God, still bless fruit for you, and he is powerful God to bless you fruit which will remain. Not give up yet. You are quite old, but Spirit of God says, go on your ministry. Do not hear the liars of devils, devil's liars. You have still power to go. You have still power to do my will here in the earth, says Lord God. Do my will here.
We receive.
In the name of Jesus, receive. I encourage you. Go, go with and in this power. Go, just with that power. Let there be anointing. Let there be power. And let all kind of yokes be broken by anointing in the name of Jesus. Whatever there are yokes, I command them to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ by anointing. By the anointing of Holy Ghost. All yokes, I talk to you. Let's be broken in the name of Jesus Christ, because there is not any name bigger than your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. We lift your name upon all other names, and I proclaim victory all my sisters, all my brothers' life, and I proclaim let there be ability to bear fruit which will remain. Be blessed, be strong, be energetic to do the will of God. Be active, even aggressive, even fanatic to do the will of God. Be blessed. Amen.